when there are clouds.
I'm about to never hear this song the same way again because of what Dan Kamen just told me. Welcome, Dan.
Hi, Larry.
Nice to have you here. I don't know how to define you. Dan Kamen is a treasure. Talented mime, sleight of hand artist, cartoon artist, acting coach, man about town, and also an expert in the man who turns 100 today, the event of national significance, Charlie Chaplin. 100.
Actually, this is his 133rd
birthday.
Oh, it's
birthday. The movie. I'm sorry.
It's a double birthday.
I'm conflating. It's two birthdays because
two birthdays.
The kid is 100.
His film, his famous film he made, one of his most beloved films, The Kid, came out in 1921. It's 101. He is 133, or he would be if he was still with us. He lived to a ripe old age, but not that ripe.
Right. I was thinking... I knew it was two birthdays, and I couldn't remember which was which. Yeah, that makes more sense. And he wrote this song?
People don't know it, but he wrote several hits, major hit songs. He didn't write it to be a song. It was part of a movie soundtrack, and it didn't have any words in it. It was part of a movie he made in 1936 called Modern Times. And when the film was released 20 years later, somebody said, you know, this love theme, it's really sweet. Let's see if we can get some lyrics, and maybe we can get somebody. And they didn't realize, of course, that they were getting one of the best singers in history, Nat King Cole. This is Nat King Cole singing Smile in 1954, and this became a huge hit, and it's since been covered by literally hundreds of other singers.
If you
I'm glad you brought this along today. It's a nice song, especially for this time of year and the era that we live in, to get some reassurance. How did you fall in love with Charlie Chaplin? Do you remember when you first encountered him?
Oh, I remember it very well because it was a day that changed my life. I came up to Pittsburgh to go to school at Carnegie Mellon University, and I was going to be an industrial designer. But midway through, they had a really good film series on my campus. It was not a class. There were very few film classes in those days at colleges. It was a student-run film. Like every college had films they would show for entertainment. What was different about this, because Carnegie Mellon is so good in the arts, is it started with silent movies every year. And every week they would show a different movie, and they went up through the 20th century showing foreign films, silent movies, and then these really amazing new foreign films that were coming out of, like, Federico Fellini and Ingmar Bergman, that were blowing everybody's mind because they were so different than American films and so fascinating. But when they showed a silent movie midway through my college career of a Charlie Chaplin film. In fact, I remember being in WRCT, one of your stations that broadcasts, and seeing a poster of Charlie Chaplin and asking somebody if it was Ben Turpin, who was another star of the silent movies, who had a similar mustache, but Ben Turpin's signature thing was his eyes were crossed. He was very funny looking. He looked like sort of a strangled ostrich or a strangled chicken. And it wasn't. It was Charlie Chaplin. I'd never seen him before. I'd never seen a movie. And it stopped me in my tracks because it was the best movie I'd ever seen. It was the funniest movie I'd ever seen. It was the most moving movie I'd ever seen. And he didn't say a word in it. It was a silent movie. And one of my fellow students from the drama department played for all our silent movies that were played during my years at Carnegie Mellon. And his name was Stephen Schwartz. And some of your listeners may have heard of him because he went on to write a couple of shows that became fairly popular.
Yeah, a little show called Pippin and a little show called Godspell, among others.
He wrote Godspell just out of school. He wrote it the year after he left school. But he wrote more recently a show that is a historical success, one of the most successful shows in history, and it was running right until COVID closed it down. It was called Wicked.
And he was playing piano to the silent film, and that's pretty exciting to see that. Now, what film was it that was
the film was a film made in 1925 called The Gold Rush, and it was about Charlie Chaplin was looking at some pictures. Slide viewers of the day were called stereoscopes, and he was looking at some three-dimensional pictures of the Donner Pass, where prospectors in the 1840s were stranded in a snowstorm, and they were trapped there in the Sierra Nevada mountains for several months. And to survive, they ate their animals and their shoes and eventually each other. And Charlie Chaplin read this book about them and thought, what a great idea for a comedy. And it is. It's one of the best comedies ever made. It was hilariously funny, but he could do things I'd never seen anybody do. He could turn himself into a chicken. He looked amazingly. He had a chicken costume on, but he moved like the chicken. He could pretend to be suddenly a man frozen stiff in an ice storm, and he looked like a thing. He looked like a statue. I'd never seen anybody do this stuff and do things that were just so funny and appealing and endearing. And literally, I walked out of that movie into a different life. There happened to be a great mime artist who was teaching on my campus named Jewel Walker, and he could lean on invisible shelves and make walls and tug of war with nobody who was with an invisible rope. And I realized it wasn't exactly what Charlie Chaplin was doing, but it was like it. It was telling stories without words and making people laugh by what you do rather than what you say. And I started pestering Jewel. I would stop him whenever I'd see him on the campus and say, tell me, how do I hold my arm? And he sort of, you know, I made a discovery then that a great teacher is powerless before the enthusiasm of a student. And I was so gung-ho that you were not allowed to take classes if you weren't a drama major in the drama department. And eventually he went, shh, just come out to the classes. And I became the master's apprentice, and I became a mime. It changed my direction of my whole life.
I never knew that because it is hard to take drama classes, if not impossible, unless you are part of the department.
Especially there, because it's a famous drama school, and 1,000 people audition every year or so for 20 or 30 open slots. So they, of course, they can't let just anybody go in. It's like a pressure cooker, and everybody is. It's like this very high level, and they don't want people coming in through the back door. But Jewel understood that my enthusiasm was so great that, as I say, a great teacher is powerless before the enthusiasm of a student. I'm sure many of your listeners have found that out. If they're very excited about a subject, suddenly their teachers become very, very helpful and often inspirational to them by pointing them and guiding them and supporting them, and even just sometimes by saying, that's great that what you're doing here.
That's a really good observation of the synergy between a master teacher and a master student, because they really end up empowering each other as part of that relationship. In fact, I've never thought of it quite that way. Now, tonight at the Harris Theater, it's going to be at 7:30 tonight. The Kid at 100 celebrating this masterpiece of a movie, the movie that took a year to make, I believe. I was looking at posters of the movie, and they talked about just how long it took to put the movie together. Frankly, a year doesn't seem like too long to me, given how much is in a Chaplin film. But what will folks see tonight? Is there, I think you'll be there to talk about the film.
It's not just a film. It's a program that I'll introduce the film briefly, but you don't need to say anything about it for people, because the jokes he made in 1921 are still just as funny now. The it hit people very hard, Larry, when this film came out, because they'd just been through 4 years of a world war, immediately followed. Imagine what's happening in Ukraine, but it's happening all over the world. That's what was happening in 1914. All of Europe was engaged in this war, terrible, bloody war, just like what's happening in Ukraine now. But right after the war, as if that wasn't enough, a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic, they call the flu, started, and many more millions of people were killed in that flu than have been killed so far, luckily, in our flu, even though millions have been people have been killed in that too. And so thousands of children were left orphaned. They were left without one or both parents all over the world. And this film is about Charlie's character, who plays essentially people called him a tramp or a home. Today we would call him a homeless person. In those days, he would call a hobo or a tramp or a vagrant, somebody who doesn't really have any money and is just like, sleeping on the street and whatever. He finds an abandoned baby in an alleyway, and he adopts the baby. A penniless, homeless person adopts a baby because the mother was unable to take care of it herself, and so she left it, which happens to this day, of course. And the reaction of people in 1921 was it's a very powerful and moving film, as well as being very funny, but it blew people away. It was like the Star Wars of its generation, and people would go see it again and again. They would cry and they would laugh, and it made him, he was already the biggest star in the world, and it made him something even more. It made him, even during his heyday, people realized this guy is doing great art. He's a legend. He's already a legend, even though his career was only he's only 7 years old at that time. I mean, the career was 7 years old.
Yeah, to Charlie Chaplin, some people might think he's a one-trick pony, so to speak, and he's not. I mean, the depth of his art, of what he created, he was just brilliant.
Yes, and he, when sound came in, he wrote the soundtracks as well. And as I mentioned, what we heard, Smile, was from a movie that he wrote. He wrote a beautiful, The Kid was one of his last scores, because he didn't write music for them during the silent time. Other people would assemble music from pre-existing musical selections. It would be kind of a playlist, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, he took all the movies that he owned the rights to, including The Kid, and The Kid was one of the last ones he did in the early 70s, and the print we're showing is the best print in the world. It's a restored film with all the original titles and things that he cut when he released it in the 70s to trim it down a bit, and his music, his beautiful music that he wrote for it. So it's going to be quite an experience. And it's so moving and powerful and funny that people always want to talk about it. And so I'm going to do a talk about it, because after I got so blown away that I became a mime, I started seeing Charlie's films more clearly, because I was trying to make people laugh without talking myself. And so I was starting to see some of his secrets. So I'm going to reveal a lot of the secrets that make the film seem so fresh and funny even now. And then the audience will get a chance to talk, and there's going to be some surprise guests. And so it's going to be, I'm really excited about doing this program, also because it's one of the first things I've done since COVID too, where it's a live audience and in person at the Harris Theater in downtown Pittsburgh.
This is Dan Kamen. If you have any questions of Dan, you can give us a call at 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. I can't tell you. I can't easily demonstrate how Dan makes people laugh without talking or making noise, but he does do that. And I've seen him do that, and he's made me double over with laughter. And, Dan's a big guy. How tall are you? About 6'4", 6'5"?
About 6'3".
Okay, 6'3". And this tall, lanky man can make his body do things that just, amaze me. It's the easiest way. You just know these secrets of movement that you've perfected over so many years.
Well, I fell in love with movement in the form of magic when I was a kid, 11 or 12 years old. I saw a movie, another movie. I have to be careful what movies I go to because they affect me so much, about the magician Houdini. And I just wanted to be a magician. And I started to do it by going to the library and looking up books on how to do magic. And that was hard to learn from a book, like learning the piano from a book. But then I met people who were also into it, other kids and adults. And every group in fact, I'm now the president of one of our local magic clubs called, it's IBM, the International Brotherhood of Magicians. And I've been a member for many, many years, but they, for some reason, asked me to be president. And it's been a challenge to be a magician during COVID.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, my mime stuff doesn't, I can't do that online, really. You can make a movie and it looks good online because it's meant to be a movie, but a stage show, It's a little bit like putting a square peg into a round hole.
No, you want to be physically in the same space.
But, made a wonderful discovery that magic, the kind of magic I like to do, which is very close-up magic with coins or cards and thimbles and stuff, looks really good online because you can have a close-up. My stage is just my hands on the tabletop, and then it cuts to my face to when I can talk to people. And so I've been doing that for sort of COVID relief for myself and for other people too. I developed a show that I call Shazoom, and it's an hour of pure sleight-of-hand magic. Very interactive, though. It's not on, I don't tape it and let people just watch it because I talk to people and people get to pick cards in different ways. So it's very interactive, which is, of course, as you know, what makes stage stuff different than seeing a film or listening to a recording is they're part of the show.
Dan Kamen is here. I want to listen to a few things. I don't know if you want to suggest. I'm going to start with this one because...
Go into a picture show, for I love it so. On the square there ain't anywhere I would rather go. There's where every girl and her beau always go to spoon, you know. So let's go into a picture show for a good old time.
Tell me about that one.
Oh, I'm glad you picked that, Larry. You know, that is a song, believe it or not, from 1909. And it's really when the movies were just getting their foothold. And it's a show about one of the great things about going to movies, which is you can spoon with your girl. I don't think most people know what that word means anymore. Do you even know what people
mean? I do. It's like sparking, only older.
That's right. It means making out. It means holding hands or snuggling up or kissing or whatever. They could go into a dark place. And that was alarming to a lot of people in 1909 that girls or women – could go in this dark place and men would approach them and, you know, come on to them, you know, and in a way that they did not like. And so I brought this artifact. I don't know if you want to – I was challenging Chad beforehand. This is a piece of sheet music, which was the – you know, everybody had a piano in their home in those days. And it's a piece that is from Pennsylvania. It's called March of the Movies. See if you can – decipher the message on them. Describe what you're – I'm putting you on the spot now. Describe what you're seeing and what do you think the message is about the movies?
Well, it's the poster's from Reading, but as I
– It's a piece of sheet music, actually.
It's a
piece
of sheet
music inside.
I see some very buxom women on the front, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 women, 4 – men and the pianist.
That's a different piece of sheet music.
Yeah, and Charlie is up on stage dancing. He's kind of looking away, and I think he's almost like saying, I'll turn my head and you can all do what you want to do. But
let me help you decode it. He's not on stage. He's on a screen.
Oh, on a screen.
It's being projected.
Right.
There's a piano player playing before him, and he's doing one of his characteristic jokes, because he made jokes about, one of the reasons he was so funny in a silent movie is he made jokes about the things you don't think about. How do you walk funny? How do you tip your hat to a passing lady? Funny. How do you step on a curb? Funny. Or light a cigarette? Funny. And this, when he would turn around, he would sort of whirl around as Chad.
Yeah.
And he would have one foot sticking straight out, one leg sticking straight out parallel to the ground, and he would twirl in a circle as though he needed to break his momentum. And so he made a joke about turning a corner. How do you turn direction? But the big message is you're seeing the audience and everybody is really well dressed.
Mm-hmm.
There's children there. Even the young boy is wearing a tie.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody is laughing. Even the piano player who's seen the film a dozen times already every day, everybody's laughing because they want to see Charlie Chaplin. And so the message is going to the movies is fun and it's safe. There's well-dressed, good, nice people, the kind of people that you want that you're not worried about, leaving your son or your daughter in a place where rough people would be stealing their money or trying to grab a kiss.
Which is what you're looking for after the war, right? And after the influenza that you were talking about, maybe.
This is during the war. This came out in 1915.
Oh, really?
And that was when, just a few years after this song that you played. There's a picture of a man on the top in an oval, and he's the president of the Motion Picture Exhibitors League of Pennsylvania. In other words, a trade organization of the people who own movie theaters.
So movies a good,
I think,
safe
this was
place
given
to
out.
Go.
I think this was given out. I can't prove it. I found the piece of sheet music in a bookstore or an antique store. I can't prove it, but I think they were giving this piece of music out free. And there's no words. It's just kind of a lively, fun song that people could play. But I think the theater owners themselves paid for it, published by Penn Music Publishing Company, it says, that was a publisher, and gave it out for free to advertise that movies were a good, safe place to go.
Yeah, it's like a public service announcement for movies. Let's listen to this one.
That's why I'm blue. What shall I do? And Beatrice said, never despair. Take your girlie to the movies. If you can't make love at home, there's no little brother there who always squeals. You can do an awful lot in 7 reels. Take your lessons at the movies and have love scenes of your own. Though she's just a simple little ribbon clerk, close your eyes and think you're kissing Billy Burke. Take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home. Take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home.
Wow.
Now, there's a challenge question if you want to have your listeners call in. He says, you may be going out with a little ribbon clerk, meaning a woman who sells ribbons at the department store or at the dry goods store, as they would have called them in those days. But she may be a little ribbon clerk, but you can imagine she's Billy Burke. Here's the challenge question. Everybody who's listening to your radio show knows who Billy Burke is because they've all seen her in a very famous movie called The Wizard of Oz. And if anybody could call in and say what she plays in The Wizard of Oz, you will win the Larry Burger Giant Burger Prize.
Yes, whatever that might be, giant.
Which has yet to be determined.
Let me just interject. You're listening to Dan Kamen along with me, Larry Burger, here on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade at WRCT Pittsburgh, at WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WSAJ Grove City is actually coming back soon, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, and radiophoenix.org. Pittsburgh is the place to be. tonight at the Harris Theater.
You know, Larry, it is, but I want to say, because you have so many listeners all over the country, that you don't have to feel bad that you can't come to this show. You can find in your local library or even on YouTube, if you look carefully, you'll find a really good copy of The Kid, and it's worth seeing. And here in Pittsburgh, we're having a dreary day, and I can tell you that everybody who comes to the Harris is going to be smiling ear to ear for the whole of this movie and our conversation afterwards. But you don't have to come. You can always find Charlie Chaplin, because he's never stopped being popular, because his films still give us great pleasure and joy. I wanted to mention, too, that making love to your girl had a somewhat different meaning in those days.
Yes, it just meant
It just meant snuggling in those days. It meant sort of being a courting couple.
Batting your eyelashes.
Another expression that's gone out of date. You know, the eyes have it was an expression people liked, meaning what we would today say, oh, she's hot.
Yeah. I'm curious about this one.
The people show.
He works in a movie show. Mr. Charlie Chaplin, dancing in the cabaret,
is a thing of bygone days.
He's the latest and the greatest craze. So Charlie Chaplin.
Where did this come from?
This was from 1915, and it was when he got a lot of publicity because everybody liked his movies, but also because people wrote songs about the things they found so funny. And it's the song is called Those Charlie Chaplin Feet, because he found a funny way to walk.
One fat lady that I saw got a dislocated jaw, laughing at those Charlie Chaplin feet.
People wrote dozens of songs in 1915 alone talking about why Charlie Chaplin was so funny.
But he never gets the fight. Wifey's at the movies. Soon the wives will start to stop.
Just to drop that Chaplin mop.
Every man is throwing up his job.
It's Stu and McCandless just said Billy Burke is the Good Witch of the North. And said he thinks the singer is Billy Murray here of these songs.
He's absolutely.
Or the first song.
I don't have that information. It may well be. That's a really smart listener.
Nick in West Mifflin writes, what about Uncle Fester?
Wow, what another really smart listener. Jackie Coogan, who plays the kid, became a superstar instantly when the kid came out. He was 5 years old, and he was the Shirley Temple of the 1920s. Everybody probably remembers Shirley Temple. Some of your listeners might not have seen her. She was the most popular child star of the 1930s, and she could sing and dance, and she was amazing, and she was at that. She started making movies when she was very young as well. But Jackie Coogan went on. Shirley Temple had a great career afterwards. She became an ambassador for the United Nations.
Shirley Temple Black.
Yeah, because everybody loved her from, you know, their memories of her. Her films are still wonderful. Jackie Coogan didn't have quite such a stellar career. After he was a kid, it was harder for him to get jobs. But one of the jobs he found was he was on a television show called The Addams Family, and he was Uncle Fester. That cute little kid became that strange-looking monster. Charlie Chaplin, when he came to the United States to get an honorary Oscar in 1972, when he introduced his new version of The Kid, I'll tell you after we listen to this.
Okay.
We are in an awful stew. All the cooking we must do, and the wash and ironing too. Oh, we've lost your mother. Brush that teardrop from your eye. There's no reason you should cry. Mother, darling, didn't die, but she's never home. She says the house is busy now, won't mend our BBDs, and all our homes have holy toes, and the final's full of fleas. Since mother goes, dirty dishes in the sink since mother gone. The movie shows. For dinner, baby wails, but that's not a job for me. We have no mister. We have no sister. Our hands we blister riding clothes. Poor old father's getting buzzed. Charlie Chaplin calls it all.
These are infectious.
Since mother goes to movie shows.
Another sign of the time, since mother goes to movie shows, was a song from 1916 about how the housework is not getting done because mother's always at the movies. And you notice the last line was, poor father's going bald, Charlie Chaplin caused it all. Not
He's
a very good rhyme,
out,
but because the children and dad have to do all the cooking and cleaning, and it's a sign of the times because mothers in those days, women were expected to do all that. Kids' jobs was being kids, dad's job was making money. Those things have changed, and but it's quite a funny song.
It's speaking of making money, and we just have a couple seconds left, and then our writers are coming on from Scholastic. Charlie Chaplin, I never knew. He made a lot of money, didn't he?
Even in 1915, they were singing about it. He gets all the dough, Mr. Charlie Chaplin, because his salaries were historic. He made more money. He was the highest paid, he wasn't the richest person, but he was the highest salaried employee in history. His salary went 10 times higher every year for the first 4 years he made movies. So he was making more money than almost anybody, and became a multimillionaire because people paying a nickel at first to go to his films because he was the funniest man in the world. There was no question about it.
Well, I hope you'll get a chance to meet Dan tonight. He's a treat. This will be at the Harris Theater right downtown this evening, downtown Pittsburgh. 7:30 is the time. The Pittsburgh Cultural Trust is involved. It's The Kid at 100. Quick intro to the movie, the film, and then a discussion afterwards. Dan, thank you for being with us.
Well, it's such a pleasure, Larry. Thanks for having me on. I love talking with you.